Welcome to the Rewilded Human Podcast, where Dr. Lucille and Lynn will tackle your most difficult and intimate questions with candor, tough love, and a little dash of humor. In today's episode,
you've already lost her, emotionally speaking. And I would say to you that you need to look at your own value system, your own self-esteem, your own vision for what you want out of a marriage. Welcome back, everybody, to the Rewilded Human Podcast. I'm Dr. Lucille Nekas, and this is my lovely partner, Dr. Lynn Hardy. And we're going to jump into some very interesting relationship questions today.
It's going to be a juicy one today, guys.
A very juicy one. Yes, yes. Anonymous has left a question, which is, and Anonymous is dreaming of an open marriage. My partner and I have been in a monogamous relationship for several years. But recently, I've been considering the idea of an open marriage. I believe that exploring relationships with others could add a new dimension to our lives and potentially strengthen our bond. However, I'm unsure how to bring up this topic with my partner without causing hurt or misunderstanding. How can I approach this sensitive conversation, and what are some key factors we should consider before deciding if an open marriage is right for us? Lynn has a lot to say on this.
How do you do know? I think the key here is I've been considering, I want. And obviously, I'm going to assume it's a guy. He's anonymous, right?
And usually is, yes, in these situations, yeah.
It could be a woman, but I will just assume that it's a man. And he's already saying that, you know, he's worried about causing hurt and misunderstanding. So he obviously knows that the wife or the partner is not going to be very thrilled by this. This has been so popular lately. I don't know, they're making this into this new fad, you know, open marriages and throuples, three people living together in a relationship, and it's so trendy now. And number one, why get married? You know, if this is what you're looking for, don't get married. Why put someone else through that? You know, obviously, marriage to me is a monogamous union between two people who otherwise there's no point. Like, an open marriage is like an oxymoron to me, no? Then why are you married? That it's open. Then it's not a marriage. A marriage is not open, in my opinion. And I'm not religious or not, what do you call it? Like, I'm not fanatical about this stuff, but to me, a marriage is very sacred. And so, I mean, if he's looking for advice on how he can approach this sensitive topic and convince his partner to go into an open marriage, then Lucille, you need to help him because I've got nothing.
That's it. Throw the ball to me. Okay. Well, you know what? I would start out with another question, which is not about how do I convince my partner.
Do you want an open marriage?
Why do you want? I know you're going to say that. What is really going on? What is really going on in your relationship that you think this is the answer for? Like, what is really the problem in the monogamous relationship that having an open quote unquote marriage is going to solve? Mm-hmm. Like, what is going on? You know, and I think this is really one of the reasons, and we had this question in previous episode about the high rate of divorce, you know, and all of this. And this is one of the reasons that people are heading for the divorce courts so quickly, is because they're not really looking at the underlying causes of what's going wrong in the relationship. They're really willing to just come up with some impulsive idea about what could fix something before you've even really defined what needs to be fixed.
Yeah. Or I'm bored and I'm moving on, right?
Yes,
I'm bored,
exactly. I'm out. Exactly. It's like really very impulsive. And I'm sorry to say, very immature. Mm-hmm. It's very immature. So I would suggest, Anonymous, that you take a look at it from a different angle, which is if I need to get into, which is, it's really almost like group sex, basically. That's like what you're talking about. If I need to get into that, like, what's going on for me? What is not happening for me in this marriage that is making me want to get involved in this? And I'll call it like a distraction. I think that's a polite way of terming it, distraction, because it's about not really dealing with the real issues that are causing you to want to try this experiment. Mm-hmm. And to be perfectly honest, when I've had clients who've gotten into this or tried this, it's never turned out well.
I was going to ask you that, Lucille, if you've ever seen a successful open marriage.
Never. Not, you know, I'm open. If anybody out in our audience has had a successful experience of, I think they call it polyamorous relationships or whatever, or group sex or whatever they call it. If you've had a really successful outcome, if you, as Anonymous has said, have found that your bond with your partner has strengthened as a result, please send us comments on it. I'd love to know. I would really love to. I have never seen it work because number one, it is not really addressing the underlying problem. Mm-hmm. The assumption is, the story is that, oh, we don't really have a problem. We're just going to make our relationship better.
Yeah.
No, there's usually a problem there. And the story is just a cover. It's a cover.
And, you know, if you need variety, there's always ways to spice things up. I mean, you can try role playing or, you know, put a wig on the lady.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if it's a matter of the sexual relationship is not satisfying to you, as Lynn says, you can work with your partner creatively. If exactly. she's on board with you, and we assume again it's you're a male Anonymous and she's female. Yeah. We don't know, you know, we could be wrong. Then there are so many ways to improve the sexual relationship if that's the issue. But usually there are emotional issues that go along with that too. Mm-hmm. So you know, and these polyamorous relationships, listen, it's hard enough to have a relationship one-on-one and you know, navigate all the dynamics and all the button pushing and everything without introducing another person into that. And then you've got like a three-ring circus of dynamics that you have to keep on top of. It's not that easy. Yeah. It is really,
I mean, I don't know what he's referring to, because an open marriage can also be where they can go, each partner is free to go out and sleep with other people, not necessarily together.
Yeah, right? I mean, there are so many
so many different levels. I know it could be just that the guy goes out and the woman goes out and they all have their own affairs, or they bring the third person in. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do this, but I just don't see the place for this in a healthy, happy marriage.
I don't think you understand the swamp that you're going to be swimming in if you do this, because this kind of experience often triggers people's unresolved insecurities, jealousies, envy erupts. It just can leave you open to so much emotional damage. And just the feeling that, you know, one or other of you may feel, well, I'm just not enough. He doesn't feel I'm worthy enough. I'm not good enough. I'm inferior. You know, if you don't have a really solid sense of self-esteem, it can really damage you and the relationship. So I would
also question how much he loves his wife, if he's willing to share his wife with someone else. Right.
Absolutely.
Love and respect that person, you don't really want that person sleeping with somebody else.
So again, he may only be seeing it from his point of view, which is, oh, maybe I get to have sex with two different women, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
And you may not realize, Anonymous, that your insecurities, your buttons could get pushed a lot in there too. Because what if your wife goes along with it and you begin to notice that she's spending a little too much time with the other guy?
Yeah, and maybe she's having much more fun with him. I mean, you know, a lot of things can happen that you're not ready for either. So really, really think about. Lucy, would you recommend that he brings this up to his wife, or you know,
I would, if I were him and I was really focused on improving the marriage, mm-hmm. I would not bring it up right now. I think he needs to do a lot of work on himself first, and really get to the bottom of why he feels drawn to this. Because if he introduces it right now, when he's not even really sure, I don't get a sense he really understands what he's getting involved with. And I'm sorry, Anonymous, to be talking about you in the third person, but if you're not really sure of where you're coming from with this and what it's all about for you, then introducing it at this point to your partner may only bring up a lot of misunderstandings and woundings and hurt feelings. And so it could really backfire on you badly.
And there's no going back for that. You know, once you said it, once you said those words, there's no going back. You know, it's going to be in the back of her mind all the time. And she's going to be thinking, oh, he wants someone else. He wants to be cheating on me. You know, it's like, if I said no to this, then it's like I'm putting him in this position that he has to just have sex with me, the poor guy, or whatever. Like, if my husband would come to me with this, I mean, I'd have his bags packed in like 5 minutes.
You know, I know.
That's not even a question.
Yes, I know. And that's great. You are very clear on your values and your boundaries. Good for you.
You need to be. And hopefully your wife is as well. So, you know, think twice before you bring this up. And like Dr. Lucille said, you know, really think about what is driving this and what you can do to make your marriage better other than sleeping with someone else.
Right.
Thank you so much for the question. And the next question comes from Caroline, who is worried about her kids. I'm a mother of two young children, ages 4 and 6. Lately, I've been struggling with their constant bickering and rivalry. No matter how much I try to foster a loving and cooperative environment, they seem to be at each other's throats over the smallest things. It's exhausting and upsetting. I'm concerned about how this might affect their relationship long term. How can I stop them from killing each other and ensure they have a good relationship as adults? Well, Caroline, I feel your pain. I mean, I don't want to compare my dogs to your children, but I've got a new puppy and it's just driving my other dog crazy and they're fighting and screaming at each other. And so I only had one son growing up, so I didn't have this issue to work with, but you know, as a mom, I can tell you that whatever's happening now between them at 4 and 6 is not reflective of what their relationship will be like later on in life. But I think with all siblings, and I'm sure Lucille can agree with this, it's like just with, you know, people in general, some people we get along with and we have a good relationship, and other people we just never have a good relationship with. And there's not really that much you can do. And they can be siblings or mother, daughter, it could be any kind of relationship. You either vibe or you don't vibe. But just because the relationship is not the best now, they're kids, it's just kind of normal. And later on, they could have a beautiful, loving, supportive relationship. Lucille, how would you manage? What would you advise Caroline to manage?
Well, again, I'm not a direct expert on this because I chose never to have children, but I do have a lot of clients who have children who've had this kind of experience. You know, Lynn is absolutely right. You cannot predict how a 4 and a 6-year-old will be when they grow up. Just because they're squabbling right now, it has no bearing on what their relationship will be like as they grow. And they're at their age separation is like 2 years. And sometimes that's really tricky. There can be more rivalry the closer in age siblings are. But there are also other factors that go into it. Like you haven't mentioned your husband and how much he's involved in their care. Maybe you're a single mom, I don't know, or maybe your husband is, you know, not that involved. You're doing most of the childcare for whatever reason. But it really, really helps if you have a partner who's on board with you. And what they can do is they can basically take the pressure off you to be refereeing all the time. And they can just like distract the kids and get them involved in activities where they're not constantly squabbling with one another. Yeah. So that's one thing. Another thing too is that they sometimes kids act out the tensions between the parents in a family situation. Like if you're, I don't know, and you can certainly comment and tell me if I'm wrong on this, but say you're stressed out in your marriage and maybe you are feeling like you're kind of a single mom and you have to do everything and you're frustrated and you're, you know, at wit's end a lot of the time and you're, you know, in conflict perhaps with your husband, either, you know, open verbal contact or kind of a cold war or whatever, the kids are going to pick up on that and they're going to act out. And so sometimes it's about looking at, well, you know, are they reflecting a kind of conflict that I'm having with my partner? Mm-hmm. If they feel like, for example, there's another thing here, they feel like you're stressed out and you're not always there for them. This is a common thing when parents have young children. Maybe you've got a job, two jobs, three jobs, I don't know, and you're taking care of kids and whatever. And you can't be there 100% or as much as you would like to be there for them, they will learn to act up to get your attention. Mm-hmm. And one way they do that is by scrapping with one another.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there are a number of reasons why you might want to just look at what is the emotional atmosphere mm-hmm. in your partnership? What is the emotional atmosphere in the home in general? Are you present and available to the kids in a healthier way? Are you, you know, do you find ways to try to structure their day so that they're occupied with something that's going to engage them far more than fighting with one another?
Yeah, like mental stimulation and getting them outside.
Exactly, mental stimulation, getting them outside, not, you know, taking them off their devices every once in a while, whatever, you know, going for group, like family outings together, that sort of thing. But, you know, you might want to look into all of that. But I think the bottom line, too, is that, as Lynn and I said, you know, don't worry about the future.
Yeah.
Because whatever they look like now, they're going to look very different as they grow older.
Absolutely.
They really will.
They will. Let's look at nutrition for a second, though, because that's important mm-hmm. to mention.
Yeah.
So if your kids are consuming a lot of sugar, a lot of, you know, junk food and the foods that are designed specifically for kids with the red colorings and the different colorings and everything that make children super hyperactive, that might be something to look into, because the nutrition can make them super crazy. I know with my son, you know, when he would be with other people and they would feed him a lot of sweets, like he would be like spinning out of control. Like I could not contain him. He was like a wild horse. And at home, you know, we didn't have sugar and we didn't have sweets. So that was never an issue. But when he got out of the house, oh my God, look out. So, you know, look into their nutrition, their diet. Those things are really important. Are they drinking water, or are they drinking Coke and sugary drinks all day? Because that's going to make a huge difference. So if you, you know, you want them to settle down, nutrition is key. Also being outdoors, getting them tired, taking them hiking, swimming, biking to get them physically exhausted. Then the mental stimulation. You know, not, I don't mean mental stimulation by playing video games, which makes them even crazier, or their phones, but real mental stimulation, playing, you know, doing puzzles, playing card games, board games, things like cards, board games, things like that with them will also make a big difference. So hopefully these tips will help you, Caroline. We wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks for the question, because I think a lot of parents are wrestling with this kind of thing.
Absolutely.
All right, so we move on to Jonathan, who unfortunately has just found out his wife is cheating. I've recently discovered that my wife is having an affair. It's been going on for years. I don't know what to do. Do I confront her and risk losing her, or just pretend that I don't know and carry on as usual? I love her and don't want a divorce, but I'm also tired of sharing her with someone else.
Oh, Jonathan, that is so heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is. Our hearts go out to you for sure. Now, you've already lost her, if you think about it, because she's not really all that present in the marriage with you.
And I mean, if it's been going on for years, that's, you know, it's not a one-time affair or something like that. I mean, she's exited the marriage, like Lucille's saying.
So she's there in, you know, in her physical body, and maybe there is some caring, I don't know, that's going on between the two of you. You also don't mention if you have children, so that may be another reason that she's still with you and not with the other person. But you've already lost her, emotionally speaking. And I would say to you that you need to look at your own value system, your own self-esteem, your own vision for what you want out of a marriage.
Because it sounds like Jonathan doesn't want to lose her. So I think he's
right.
Avoiding the confrontation with her because
avoiding the confrontation. Then you know what? What you avoid can come right back and bite you, you know, if you don't deal with it. I have clients like this. In fact, where the man is the one who's been cheated on, and it always deteriorates if it's allowed to go on. Like, your wife is getting something out of this relationship that she's not getting with you, and if it continues as it has for some time now, it's likely that she's just not going to be in any. If she's getting what she wants, basically, she likely will not want to work on the marriage. She may go for a long time in this kind of double life. But then what are you losing by sticking with it?
Yeah.
Is this the kind of relationship that you had hoped for? Is this going to fulfill you? Now, another thing that I've seen happen is that these extramarital affairs can go on for a while, and then all of a sudden, without the other partner being aware of it, their unfaithful partner decides, I'm just leaving you. It's over. It's done. I've decided I'm going off with the other guy.
Yeah.
And you're left high and dry anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Because you have no control over what's going on in her relationship with the other person.
Yeah.
So if you pretend, as you say, and just carry on as usual, you are opening yourself up to God knows what problems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're also phrasing it as either I stay with her as the situation is, or I get a divorce. Now, I'm not sure that why there has to be those two options. There may be a possibility that if you come to her in a loving way and say, I know what's going on, I love you, is there any way we can work it out? You never know.
Even after years of cheating, that's possible.
Even after years of cheating, because again, you don't know how the wife has processed her experience. You don't know where she's at. For example, she may be going on in the dual relationship and getting more and more uncomfortable with the whole thing. And maybe starting to regret what she's done.
Mm-hmm.
That you never know. You just don't know. But I would say the best approach is, Jonathan, to actually take your heart in your hands, be brave, and open up the conversation.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you are totally out of control and you may end up facing a sudden crisis that you're not prepared for.
Yeah. And also a health crisis, because if he's keeping this all inside all the time, then that's going to affect your health sooner or later. How long can you carry that inside of you without saying something? I mean, it must be up inside, and to pretend like nothing's wrong and to smile at her and go to sleep with her. And like, I can't even imagine how people do that. I honestly can't imagine.
Absolutely. So you're going to be living a life of deceit too.
Yeah.
So you're in that deceitful collaboration with the two of them, and you do have to ask yourself, what are the consequences to you of living a life like that? So I would agree with you. I would go with the part of you that is tired of sharing her with someone else,
mm-hmm.
and use that as your inner wisdom telling you that you're probably not wanting to do this for very much longer.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with Lucille. Time to go and have that big talk And let us know how it goes, Jonathan.
Yes, I hope it works out.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that brings us to our last question. Is it your turn or my turn, Lucille? I'm confused.
No, it's your turn.
It's my turn. Okay, let me get my glasses. I got these new glasses. They're supposed to be non-glare glasses, and obviously they are not. So I don't know what I, if you guys have any tips for what kind of glasses you can wear on Zoom recordings that don't have the glare, that would be great. So this is from Olivia, who is concerned about hubby's porn addiction. Like I said, the juicy ones today, guys.
Yeah.
I'm feeling increasingly concerned and upset about my husband's behavior. He spends a significant amount of time watching porn, and as a result, he seems to have lost interest in having sex with me. The shift in our intimacy has left me feeling neglected and questioning the health and future of our relationship. How can I address this with him without coming across as an attack? And how can I make him stop? Is this happening because I won't do half the things that he's seeing in those videos? Do real women actually do those things? I think this is very, very common with this porn society that has become just like a normal part of our lives and easy access to free porn everywhere. You know, already young boys grew up addicted, and you know, the dopamine hit that they get from that, and they need to watch always something kinkier and dirtier to get that same arousal, right? And that same hit. And you know, what you see in porn is not reality. That's not what happens between two loving people during sex. It's just not real, right? None of it is real. It's fiction. And I think especially men that grow up with this, they just have very different expectations in their own relationships, or they can't even relate to women. And they're just, you know, so hooked on their addiction that they can't actually have a normal relationship. So Olivia, I totally feel your pain, and know that you're not alone, because I think millions of women around the world are going through this and feeling this. Oh, how do you deal with this? I mean, how do you get them to stop? If it's an addiction, it's something that he needs to make that decision. He needs to realize that he has a problem that is affecting his relationship and his sex life with his wife. And he's the one that needs to, you know, find help and put a stop to this. Lucille, do you get a lot of this in your practice?
I have had a number of clients with this kind of issue, or at least the spouses of the clients. Mm-hmm. And one thing I would say to you, Olivia, is I know it's hard to do when you're in it, but try not to take this personally. It's not about you being deficient in some way, or you did something or didn't do something that pushed him into it. Like all addictions, this is coming out of whatever the person's own experience has been. It's their own issues that they need to deal with. It doesn't have to do with the spouse. And it's the same as in alcohol or drug addiction. You know, the partners often feel like they're the problem. They drove their partner to drink. And sometimes the addicted party will make it seem like, you know, they were driven to do the addiction because of some deficiency in their partner. That is never true. It's absolute BS.
Yeah.
This is, however, an addiction, as Lynn said. If your husband is ruining his life and he's hitting rock bottom, and he starts feeling the pain of what he's doing, he may decide that it has to stop. But it's almost impossible for anybody else to force somebody to stop an addiction. Mm-hmm. You can certainly express your concerns. You can certainly express how it's making you feel. But when somebody's deep into an addiction, it's complicated. It's hard to pull them out just by talking to them about how it's impacting you, or what you're seeing in the other person that's making you concerned about them.
Yeah.
I would, however, still talk to him. Just don't expect miracles to happen.
Yeah.
And if you don't talk to him, I'm sorry, it may just get worse and worse and worse. Like, you know, if this goes, that kind of thing goes on, it's like an addiction in any other context. It can, he could lose his job.
Yeah.
Now, what if his employer finds, porn on the work computer?
Yeah, absolutely.
He will definitely, it's impacting his health. It always impacts the man's health because they deplete their dopamine and testosterone levels.
Yeah.
And if you don't have those handy for your body's functioning, you can have all sorts of problems. That come up. So it's not just that they can no longer have a normal sex life. It can impact everything else, heart conditions, whatever. And of course, the mental health conditions, depression, anxiety. If they can't get to their porn fix immediately, they become irritable, you know what.
And a sense of guilt. I'm sure he's carrying a lot of guilt.
A sense of guilt and shame, which is really eroding his self-esteem too. Now, whether he's in a position right now to give it up or whether he's in that denial state that a lot of addicted people are in, where that I don't have a problem. I really don't. They're not ready to give it up because it still serves some kind of purpose for them. You don't have a lot of control. I'm sorry to say that. You just don't have a lot of control over that.
Do you think she should be like, you know, if he's demanding like kinkier and kinkier sex acts from her, do you think she should be complying with that in order to get him to stop?
You know, I would be surprised if he's doing that because after a while they don't want sex from other people. That's the thing.
Yeah.
They're just into the online bizarre fantasy.
I think with masturbation, they have a very different pressure on the penis from their hand, which is not the same as they would have with a partner or from vaginal intercourse. So I think that also makes
So these guys they're not usually asking their partners for kinky sex. They're just totally engaged with the online porn world. And you have to remember that the porn on the internet is designed to addict men. It's designed to create bigger and bigger dopamine hits.
Yeah.
And the other part of that is also to drain men of their finances, because this can become an expensive addiction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So it's destructive.
Can it lead to like eventually going to escorts and things like that? Have you seen that happen where the online addiction kind of escalates?
You know, sometimes, but again, why go to they wouldn't want to go to an escort or process because that takes time, energy and money when they can just sit in front of their laptop.
Yeah.
Because they just don't have the oomph anymore. They just don't have the drive that a man with more testosterone would have to go at least seek out a sex worker, right?
That's true. They are depleted.
They're depleted. And so they're less and less likely to move away from the computer screen and actually find a partner.
Do you see this like ruining relationships and marriages completely?
It certainly can. Absolutely. If the guy is not ready to accept that he's got a problem. Now, one thing is that sometimes the guy may be ready. He may be seeing that his life is going down the tubes and he's wanting to turn somewhere for help. And with guys, it's very difficult, as you know, because, you know, it's not the masculine thing to be looking for help. That's weak, right?
Yes.
But there are a number of groups out there now that are, for men who are porn addicted. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it, you know, does require, you know, you searching out either there's something in your community or there may be an online group like a Facebook group or something else that the man could turn to get help. But there are more and more people out there who are offering help with porn addictions.
Yeah. He just has to want to help himself.
That's exactly right.
So Olivia, I think that you need to really sit down with him and tell him how this is impacting your life and your relationship with him. Should she give him an ultimatum, do you think, Lucy?
No. I think it's more, it's not about giving him an ultimatum because that's usually about forcing the person to change. I would say if you just reflect on where you're really at. If you're at the point where you're so fed up that you want to leave, it doesn't sound like you are, but if you're at the point where you just want to leave, you just want to state that matter-of-factly, mm-hmm. not as an ultimatum. Oh, yeah. I'm going to leave if you don't stop, but I'm sorry, dear. I can't handle this anymore. And if it continues, I've just got to leave. I can't live this way any longer. Yeah. So that kind of delivery.
Yeah.
I would say to you that you have to be, I agree with you, you never attack. You never attack. You just tell it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
You just be very matter of fact about where you're at with it, the concerns you have for him, the concerns you have for yourself. And you have to be very clear about what your boundaries are. Are you going to continue waiting to see if he decides to relinquish this on his own? Or is there a point at which you just can't take it any longer? And you just have to be matter of fact about it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Olivia, we wish you the best of luck and do keep us posted. We feel for you and for all the ladies out there that are listening and, you know, with tears in their eyes who can absolutely relate to this. And
for all the men too who are caught in this and just are like helpless and you know, feeling their lives are going down the tubes, but.
Yeah, and just know that it's not you. It's not like something's wrong with you and or with your body or something. This is completely outside of you. And hopefully he can get some help. Guys, mm-hmm. that brings us to the end of episode 22, kind of on a sad note. I mean, a little bit sad, but we appreciate you guys so much. And please keep sharing and commenting and liking these videos and keep sending us your questions. We always look forward to hearing from you. Episode 23 is going to be another rapid fire. So we're going to go through quick questions very quickly. And you guys don't want to miss that. And thank you, Dr. Lucille. It's always a pleasure doing these podcasts with you. I enjoy it so much.
Yeah, me too. I always have fun, even with the hard questions.
Yeah, even with the hard questions.
Yeah, yeah. But we're hoping that we're helping a lot of you out there. So thank you.
I hope so too. Thank you guys so much for listening. All the best to everyone.
Please be aware that Lynn and I are here to provide insights, advice, stories that are for educational and entertainment purposes only. None of our content should be considered to be personal, medical, or mental health therapy. If you are experiencing a mental health or physical health challenge, please consult the appropriate healthcare specialist. We are here to provide the best possible content in an atmosphere of positive conversation and personal growth.